Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
On this first Sunday of the new year, we find ourselves right in the middle of an annual teaching focus, which runs from September to June, on the kingdom. And so as we're in the middle and as we start this new series, I want to tell you how we got here to the book of Proverbs. Because you see, this annual focus on the kingdom really came out of an observation that we saw in last year's annual focus on movement. In our final series, we were studying the idea of serving a movement, looking at the book of Acts. And looking at the book of Acts, we noticed something, that there were what we call the literary bookends of Acts, that Jesus has 40 days with his disciples, and he can teach them about anything he wants to prepare them for the world-changing mission he is about to send them on. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says that Jesus took those 40 days and spoke to his disciples about the kingdom. And then at the very end of the book of Acts, the last two verses, you find that Paul is under house arrest in Rome, that the mission has gone to the ends of the earth. It has moved from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth, and Paul's under house arrest in the center of the known world at the time, the capital of the Roman Empire, Rome itself. And it says people came to visit him. And when they came to visit him, he always had one topic that he wanted to talk to them about, and it was the kingdom. Luke starts with the kingdom. He ends with the kingdom. He wants you to know that the kingdom is what Jesus came to bring. And so after we finish that focus on movement and Rich studied this summer for our new focus, we said, well, let's expand on that. Let's expand on this idea of the kingdom and take a year to learn what that really looks like. And so that's what we've been studying for the past two series from September through December. In Advent, we had a series called Kingdom Come. We learned that the kingdom comes slowly, relentlessly, and as promised. We learned that our king is present, preeminent. He is the prevailing king. But as we come to this series on Proverbs, we want to ask the question, coming out of that Kingdom Come series, if the king is so powerful, is there a role for me to play? If the king is preeminent and prevailing and he's present with us, then what's my position in the kingdom? In our Kingdom Values series in September, October, November, we learned that the kingdom is here and now, even as we wait for it there and then. And in order to live out kingdom values, we learned we needed to think the opposite. It is the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the weak, the meek, those who hunger, those who thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure, the peacemakers, and the persecuted. It is they who are living the kingdom life. And as I look at that list, I go, that sounds intriguing. That sounds really interesting, Jesus. But how does it really work? What skills would I need to develop in order for the kingdom to come in my home, my office, our church, wherever you find yourself eating lunch? How does poor in spirit look like in those environments? What does it look like to be meek at my office? What does it look like to hunger and thirst for righteousness as a church body? And if I actually could identify the skills needed for those things to happen in my home, office, church, and wherever I eat lunch, how would I develop those skills? How would I develop those skills so that I was actually applying kingdom values in every situation to which God calls me? And that leads us to the book of Proverbs. And I want to read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, just the very first verses of this book. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. You see, the word wisdom, it comes from a root word in the Hebrew language that means skills. It's interesting. The word wisdom actually is a, they call it a cognate. It sounds like the word for skills. There are a lot of definitions for what wisdom might be. And let me read to you one from a man with an excellent name for a biblical scholar, Gerhard von Rad. If your name is Gerhard von Rad, you're basically destined to have biblical scholarship in your career. He wrote this: wisdom is becoming competent with the realities of life, knowing how things really happen, knowing how things really are, and knowing what to do about it. The wise do the right thing even when the rules don't apply. You see, we look at the kingdom coming in our homes, in our offices, in our churches, and we think, well, I can follow the rules. I can follow the commandments. I could do that. But what about a situation where the rules might not apply? What about a situation where you haven't prepared for it? Or what about a situation where you can't find a commandment that is applicable for that particular family conflict, for that particular issue that comes up in the office? Where do you turn then? And the Bible says, turn to wisdom. Wisdom means skills. And as we want to develop skills for kingdom living, we will be looking at the book of Proverbs. I love von Rad's definition of wisdom. I think it's excellent. I'm not sure it's memorable. So try my definition. See if we can remember this throughout the series. Though I don't have a good biblical scholar name, I think this is a good definition of wisdom. Wisdom is the art of skilled living. Wisdom is the art of skilled living. And my conviction for this series, as it relates to our bigger focus on the kingdom, is that kingdom living is skilled living. Kingdom living is skilled living. And we're going to spend the next 6 weeks looking at skilled living in friendship, work, anger, speech, and plans. But how I want to start today is I want to do a big picture overview of the major themes of the book of Proverbs, and they all come out of this chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Chapter 3, 1 through 12 is an extended poem about wisdom and how it relates to the larger book of Proverbs, and if we get at these 12 verses, we're going to get the big picture themes for the entire book. So here's what we want to do today. We're going to look at skills for skilled living. What are the skills we need to develop for skilled living? And I have 6 of them, and I will just say right up front, this is not Nina approved. She'll usually stop me right when I get to about 4 things. So I apologize, this is not Nina approved, but there's a reason there's 6, and I'll tell you what that reason is a little bit later in the sermon. So skills for skilled living. First one is this: reorientation. Your first skill for skilled living is learning a radical reorientation in your life. Let me read to you verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. You see, in verses 5 through 8, we learn that we must reorient our lives away from self and toward God. And this is different than what the world often tells us. The world tells us to listen to our instincts. The world pushes us inward in our search for wisdom. The world tells us, hey, dust off your soul just a little bit and you'll be able to see clearly. If you just put a squeegee on your heart and clean it up a little bit, what you really need is inside there somewhere. You just have to search deep enough. You just have to look inside and you will find it. Proverbs says you must reorient yourself, not in, but out to God. I actually saw the world telling me to go inward in two very interesting ways, very different ways, but from two Christmas presents given to me by the same person. One was a shirt and one was a book. You go, how would a shirt tell you to search for wisdom inwardly? Well, the shirt had an interesting tag on it. The company is called Volcom. Volcom is a surf brand. One of the cooler members of our congregation told me between services it's pronounced Volcom. See, I don't even know how to pronounce it. It's Volcom to me. And this shirt was given to me. And on the tag, I couldn't believe it when I read the tag. Here's the tag. Volcom was founded on the belief that there is a higher level of consciousness to be found within oneself through the internal and external journeys that board sports, music, art, and film provide. For over two decades, Volcom has been true to this. And you go, oh, wow, Volcom, you know, true to this. Whoa, wow. You know, like I'm going to go on an inward journey of wisdom, you know, when I put my board shorts on and get on my board. Now, I thought it was interesting. Yeah, you're not getting to a higher level of consciousness in those board shorts. Those are actual Volcom board shorts. And I look at this and I say to myself, I didn't know when board sports and art got on the same level, but apparently they are. Board sports and art are on the same level, and you put your board shorts on, and boom, that's all you need. Just, you're gonna go to a higher level of consciousness right there. Just look inward, and we, Volcom, we know this, and we're selling it to you, and for 10 years, we've been true to this. So, you know, right there it is, on your shirt. The world is communicating this to you. From this same person, I also got a book. And what was interesting about the book is this is actually a Christian book. And I'm not going to say the author because I really want to believe the best about my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And there could be a context in where some of this may be helpful. And I just missed the context. But I just thought it was interesting. After I read my Volcom tag, I was reading the inner dust jacket of this book. And here's what I read. You don't know how or why you know. You just do. There is inner knowledge bubbling up from a wellspring of wisdom within. Regardless of where you are in life, it's time to align your actions with your instincts. The inner wisdom of who you really are and what you're made to do. Living by instinct will unleash your authentic self, transform your workplace, liberate your career, and enhance your relationships. Sounds good. Sounds inspiring. The only problem? It's totally false. Living by instinct will suppress your true reality, your true identity as an image bearer of God. It will trample your workplace, enslave your career, and endanger your relationships. We need a reorientation from inward to Godward. The book of Proverbs, especially right here in chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, explicitly states that wisdom is not found turning within, but from turning to God. I want to build a bridge from Christmas to here and look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. It says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. This is often read at Christmas time, a prophecy from Isaiah about the Messiah to come. Notice it doesn't say the people who walked in darkness turned inward and found the light that was already in their soul. Again, if they would just dust their soul off a little bit, the light was there the whole time hiding. No, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. The light comes from outside in, not from inside out. Kingdom living is skilled living. Our first skill for skilled living is reorientation from inward to Godward. Second skill for skilled living is reflection. And you'll notice, and I'll tell you a little bit more about this in this point, that some of these skills are going to be in tension with one another. And that's purposeful, because that's the way the book of Proverbs sets it up. And I'll show you how. Verses 3 and 4. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. You see, Proverbs calls for a sustained reflection on both its contents and through its contents, life itself. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Sustained reflection. Parallelism is how Proverbs does this. Proverbs is largely written by using a poetic device known as parallelism. It's not just the book of Proverbs. It's all of Hebrew poetry, any of the poetic books, Psalms, Proverbs, Job. You'll see this poetic device that's being used. And for those of us who are not familiar with it, which I'm guessing is most of us, we don't go, oh, parallelism. Yep, got that right here. Here's a good definition of parallelism so you can see what's happening in the book of Proverbs. Two phrases, two clauses or sentences that are brought into close connection with each other so that they modify and expand on each other. And that's from a book that Tim and Kathy Keller have just written. It's a devotional on the book of Proverbs. It's a wonderful definition of parallelism. And I just want to say there are lots of different kinds of parallelism. And I'm starting something. I tried it back in December. It's called the cutting room floor. It's stuff that probably is just going to be too time consuming on Sunday morning. I'm trying to shorten up my sermons a bit. And so I'm going to have a separate audio blog, let's call it, where maybe I take some of the stuff on Sunday morning that I wanted to talk about, but it would take a little more explanation. And I'm calling it the cutting room floor. And we'll post it on the church website at some point this week. So if you ever wanted to know all about parallelism, there are lots of different kinds that will help you understand the different proverbs. I'll talk about that a little bit more this week. But for now, all we need to know is it's two phrases, two clauses, or sentences that are brought into close connection with each other so that they modify and expand on each other. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Parallelism by nature invites reflection. How do these clauses, sentences, or phrases relate to each other? How do they modify each other? How are they similar? How are they different? The very style of writing means we need to reflect on these proverbs. The proverbs themselves actually call for a fair amount of reflection. If you go to Proverbs chapter 26, you're going to see what some people see as a key interpretive, as the key interpretive principle for understanding the whole book of Proverbs. You see, the author put two proverbs that are very different. In fact, they're actually entirely the opposite, right next to each other. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Yeah, that's right. You don't want to answer a fool according to his folly. You're going to become a fool in the process, trying to argue with a fool. Of course, step back. Don't say anything. Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. You don't want to let someone go on just talking like they know everything if they're actually, you know, leading themselves or people astray. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you become a fool yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he believe he is wise in his own eyes. Which is it? Sustained reflection will help you discern what is the appropriate response in that particular circumstance. Remember, wisdom is the art of skilled living. It takes skill. It takes discernment. Again, we need a radical reorientation toward God. So this reflection is not necessarily, oh, if I just think about it hard enough with my own mental faculties, with my own intellect, I'll get it. No, the whole passage here is, son, do not forget my teaching. Even our reflection is to look outward to what God's word is saying and what he is calling us to do. But it does require reflection. Diane Bergent, a biblical scholar, said this, the collections following chapter 9 consist largely of independent two-line sayings, yielding their often indirect or paradoxical meaning only to readers willing to ponder them. The meaning only emerges for readers willing to ponder them. To reflect on the sayings is perhaps what chapters 1-9 mean by living with wisdom and dwelling in her house. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Kingdom living is skilled living. And our second skill for skilled living is reflection. Our third skill is restraint. Verses 9 through 12. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Another major theme in the book of Proverbs is this idea of restraint. And here, these verses admonish restraint in regard to the amount of money you spend, saying, honor the Lord with your wealth. Make sure you give the Lord your wealth first. So you don't just go unrestrained, spending it on yourself, what you want to. You give that first fruit portion over to him. It's an intentional limitation, an intentional restraint on what you can spend on yourself. However, financial restraint is only one type of restraint called for in the book. Again, this is a big theme. Proverbs calls us to restrain our words, restrain our sexual appetites, restrain our response to all kinds of different situations is a big point that the book of Proverbs is trying to make as a whole. Let me show you two of my favorite verses in the entire book that deal with restraint. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Now, as an external processor, I don't often live up to these words, but I'm working on it. I'm trying to go, you know what? I don't have to say something in this moment that maybe I don't have anything important to say, or maybe others need to contribute first. And the good news is, Solomon will tell us, even a fool who keeps silent will appear wise. When he closes his lips, he's going to appear intelligent. What you don't say might be better than anything you could come up with in a particular meeting or on a particular topic. And also Proverbs 19:11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook in offense. This is a big one we work on around the Simone household. I'm always saying this when there are arguments that emerge among our children. I say, remember, it's to your glory sometimes to overlook an offense. You don't always have to speak. You don't always have to respond. Restraint leads to wisdom. It's a skill for skilled living. But our culture struggles with all of this, but I believe our culture struggles especially with restraint. You want to say it, say it. You feel like doing it, you should do it. That's what our culture is constantly saying. And I bumped into this in an interesting way. With the snow, it is wonderful to see everyone. I'm so thankful to our support services team and our volunteers for getting the facility ready today. Just wonderful that we could all be in the room together. Not every church is in Tidewater is able to gather this morning, and so we are very blessed to be able to gather here. And while there was a lot of plowing and shoveling going on, I was in a cold restaurant writing the heat. They brought out a heater for me. When they saw it, when I was there past the third hour, they brought out a little heater for me, so my fingers worked a little better. But when I wasn't in that cold restaurant writing, I was on the cold slopes of Williamsburg doing a little sledding there. So these are our kids and some of their friends doing some sledding. This is a little race that we set up. That's me in the top right. That jacket, just in case you're wondering, that is a Volcom jacket. I'm on an inward journey right now of higher level thinking because of that Volcom jacket. And so our kids are sledding, and one of our friends said, "Hey, I'll share the pictures on a Google Drive with you." And I'd never had anyone share something like that with me, so I was excited to get the email. And then it was just interesting. At the bottom of every picture or every video, there was this little temptation right there that Google puts in for you. That temptation is, say something. Go for it. Just something, you know. Not say something wise. Not say something helpful. Not say something important. Just say something. And isn't that a picture of our culture? Say something. Well, the message of Proverbs is, don't say something. Don't do something. Don't post something. That video, yeah, delete it. Get it out. Don't put it up. Don't say it. Don't send it. Don't do it. Don't respond. Restraint is a skill for skilled living. I'll add, don't spend it. That's also what Proverbs is saying. You don't have the money, don't spend it. You haven't honored the Lord with the first fruits of your wealth, don't spend it. Honor the Lord first before you start spending it over here. Kingdom living is skilled living. And our third skill for skilled living is restraint. Our fourth skill is receptivity. Look at verse 11 and 12. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father, the son in whom he delights." You see, the clearest distinction in the book of Proverbs, just a very casual reading of the book of Proverbs, there would be one distinction that would just emerge right off of the pages, and that's between the wise person and the foolish person. And the consistent difference between the wise and foolish is their level of receptivity to correction. Let me read verses 11 and 12 again. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." This is all over the book of Proverbs, but I'm going to turn to chapter 9, verses 7 through 9, and just read a few of these verses about receptivity to correction. "Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you." Again, the fool, you reprove them, you correct them, they push back. They don't like it. They don't want to hear from it. They lash out against you. But second half of verse 8, "Reprove a wise man and he will love you." The wise person is receptive to the correction. "Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning." So my question, when we think about the skill of receptivity, is how receptive are you to correction? How receptive am I to correction? I think that's worth some sustained reflection. How receptive have I been lately to correction? And your answer to that question, Proverbs says, will diagnose for you right now. It's a quick diagnosis. Are you currently living as a foolish person or as a wise person? Another wonderful quote. I came across a lot of good quotes this week in that cold restaurant. "The difference between the wise and foolish is one of hardness and unteachability. Unteachability is the great sin in Proverbs." Kingdom living is skilled living. And our fourth skill for skilled living is receptivity. Fifth, reality. And now we're gonna learn why there had to be 6 points for us this morning. Reality. And this is verses 1 through 12. Remember, wisdom instructs us in how things really work. in what things really are. Instruction and wisdom is like taking a course on reality. And these verses are an amazing introduction to reality according to God. Here's how these verses work. The odd numbered verses represent the root action that Solomon is calling us all to take. It's the action. And the even number verses represent the results that will happen if you take that root action. Okay, the odd number verses are the root action, the thing that we need to pursue. And then Solomon is saying, here's the way reality works. If you take that root action, reality will yield results. In the same way you drop a ball, the reality of gravity is it will hit the ground. If you do these things in the odd verses, reality over time, not immediately, and again, you'll see the tension, and that's why there's reflection. There are exceptions, but generally speaking, reality will yield this result. So with that in mind, let me read the verses. Odd, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Even, for the length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Odd, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Even, so that you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Odd, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Even, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Odd, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Even, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Odd, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Even then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Odd, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. Even for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father in the son in whom he delights. And so these 12 verses are actually six couplets of root action, six pairs of root action and results. And that's why there are 6 points for this morning's sermon, to represent all six couplets of here's what you are called to do, and here's how reality works in response to it. And I believe, especially at this time of year, we all focus way too much on the results. We go, I want to see this result in my life, and we make a resolution, but we fail to take the root action that in the reality of God's word will ultimately yield that result. The better approach is to focus on the root action and leave the results up to God. Remember, wisdom instructs us in how things really are and how things really work. Listen to this quote from Raymond C. Van Leeuwen, another good biblical scholar name. Since God is the creator, God's view of things is true, the way things are. And to go counter to this view is to flout reality. Kingdom living is skilled living. Reorientation, reflection, restraint, receptivity, reality. And one final skill that I believe will bring them all together. And that skill is relationship. Relationship. Look at verses 1 and verse 11. My son, do not forget my teaching. Verse 11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. You see, our passage begins and ends with relational language, as does the whole book of Proverbs. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. You see, wisdom instruction is not like taking a college course on abstract principles and ideas. It's being in relationship with one who loves you and cares about you and longs to move you on a path toward greater acceptance of the reality of the world in which God has placed you. The whole book of Proverbs start with, hear my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching. And this picture of this relational instruction goes all the way through. The whole book of Proverbs is introduced in chapters 1 through 9. The whole almost every chapter, look at chapter 2, starts with my son. Chapter 3 starts with my son. Chapter 4 starts with hear, O sons. Chapter 5, my son. Chapter 6, my son. Chapter 7, my son. And then chapter 8 starts off, does not wisdom call? Again, we can be called sons and daughters because the truth is wisdom is a person. Chapter 8, does not wisdom call? Does wisdom not cry out in the streets? Does not wisdom knock on doors? You see, ultimately, the reason wisdom can be gained in this beautiful relationship is because true wisdom, that's the title for this morning's sermon, true wisdom is actually a person. Let me introduce you to this person. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, and because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That poem about wisdom in chapter 8 talks about wisdom being there at creation, that God using wisdom to create. And we then read in John chapter 1, that by him all things were made. For him all things were made. Through him all things were made. Wisdom is a person. That person is Jesus. And it's our relationship to him that allows us to be on this path of understanding reality, the reality in which he has placed us to give us the skills for skilled living to build his kingdom right here, right now, even as we wait for it there and then. Another verse that just connects so well to Proverbs chapter 3 is Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6 actually quote Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, but I want to set up the context a little bit for you. This is in the context of the author of Hebrews just talking about Jesus as the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and now he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And the people in the church that the author of Hebrews is writing to, they're discouraged right now. They've lost their will to keep building the kingdom because of their external circumstance. And listen to what the author of Hebrews says to them in verse 12:5. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? Have you forgotten that God came in Jesus Christ to establish a relationship with you, and now you are sons and daughters of the Most High? It's right in your scriptures. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? And then here's the quote. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. And that is a direct quote of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Our skills for skilled living are developed in the context of relationship as sons and daughters, because wisdom became a person in Jesus Christ, and through faith, we can be connected to him, and he will become wisdom inside us. You see, kingdom living is skilled living, reorientation, reflection, restraint, receptivity, reality, and relationship are the skills we need to develop for skilled living. I want to invite the band to the platform. We're going to do something a little bit differently this week because of the nature of the book of Proverbs. We're going to do it each week during the entire series. As we talked about the need for reflection, that Proverbs yield their meaning only to people who ponder them. We're going to take some time to ponder what we learn each week. Another quote from Tim and Kathy Keller. I love this one. One of the main messages of Proverbs is you've never really thought enough about anything. I love that. You've never really thought enough about anything. And our world is so busy, it's so chaotic, the margins are pushed out to the absolute max. We are gonna take some time for extended reflection each week in the worship service. And it was funny in the first service, like when the first song was done playing, I was ready for the benediction. There's gonna be another song because we're just gonna sit and think about some things together. This week, the song will actually be the same song. The band will play the song, and I really would invite you to reflect on these questions. Where have I been wise in my own eyes? Will I resolve to declare, I need you this week? The band's gonna play. Let's sing. Let's ponder those questions. Let's reflect. And then we'll stand and join with the band. You see, this week, as I read this quote to Tommy, as we were planning the worship service, that Proverbs yield their meaning only to people willing to ponder them. Tommy said, what if we change that word willing to resolved? We're willing to do many things, but are we resolved to do them? And so I want to ask each and every one of us to resolve, to think through these questions. Where have I been wise in my own eyes? And will I resolve to declare I need you this week? Have I not reoriented my life? Have I not built in time for wise reflection? Have I not shown restraint? Have I not been receptive to correction? Have I flaunted reality? Where have I been wise in my own eyes? And will I seek a relationship with the one who became wisdom, Jesus Christ, resolving to declare, I need you? Let's reflect together.